Some extended comments from what you could have heard on the stream on Wednesday morning. Our full chat with Kathy Garcia Soto, the Defensive Player of the Year, will also preview the Bulls, what we hope is long stay in the AAC tournament. They'll start off against Tulsa on Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Let's highlight Kathy Garcia Soto winning Defensive Player of the Year for the second straight year, and I mean highlights. Of the games alone that we had on the channel, she made some awesome plays outside of the contest that we aired. We'll wrap up this reel with back-to-back plays that, as you heard, definitely needed to be on SportsCenter. They weren't. I don't know why, but they're definitely on Bulls Beat, and then you'll hear from Garcia Soto herself.
That ball's ripped. Oh, a diving play by Garcia Soto. Did I mention she was the Defensive Player of the Year as a freshman in the American? My goodness. Picking up where you left off.
That ball's line. Kathy Garcia has to play it on a short hop. And diving head first makes the gun of a throw. Kathy Garcia Soto could have been made nervous by the trajectory of that ball, but she does not seem to have that problem. I think it's almost going to have to go on her business card. Kathy Garcia Soto, AAC Defensive Player of the Year as a freshman. And she lines that ball up the middle. Kathy Garcia Soto is able to flip it to second base. Unbelievable. She does it again. Ball should have been through the hole. A. B. There's no play there for a normal human being. But Kathy Garcia Soto flips it to Wilkes covering at second, amazingly, to get the lead out. And now there are two away. Well, she chops that ball, and Garcia Soto dives to make that catch. You will not see two better back-to-back plays at any level. I might have just exaggerated a little bit, but I don't think so. Unreal. That ball's line could duck in. Oh, Kathy Garcia Soto dives, turns around, and gets the double play. Are you serious? SportsCenter, you don't even have to look at anything else. That is your number one play of the day. It was a flare into right field that should have dropped in, but Kathy Garcia Soto said, nah, that ain't going to happen, and I'm going to turn it into a double play with the dive and the dime.
Hit 295 and has just been way better than that, even though last year wasn't bad. She golfs that ball.
Oh, Kathy Garcia Soto does her thing. That ball was hammered, and Garcia Soto had no time to think, and she grabs it for the first out. She barely had time to move, much less leap in the air, and did both.
Wow, what a big catch. And we're not surprised to see that, but in this particular situation, that's just an enormous play. As big as it gets.
Just brought up the minimum in a softball game, and that one is
rocketed. Kathy Garcia Soto does it again! There's no way that ball was going to not land in right field. One problem with that narrative, Kathy Garcia Soto, she ain't a problem for the Bulls. Elliot, I thought, had a look at it, but it was going to land in front of her, and she was just ready to scoop it. And then, meanwhile, flying through the air with the greatest of ease in front of her, straight backwards. SportsCenter, you didn't see the play she made yesterday. Somehow it didn't make the top 10. You better get that one on your highlight reel. And better just flash back and make it a combo. Number one play of the day.
So, obvious question, you know, when did you start to see yourself as a person who's really good at defense? It was before last season, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think since I've been growing up, defense has always been my strong point. I've always loved fielding. I mean, going to practice, that's the part that I look forward to doing. And just like, I knew like defense is something I could always rely on. And it's just so much fun because like there's so many different aspects that you can improve on and different like parts of the game that you can like get from defense. So I've always loved defense.
That's not how it is for everybody though. So, you know, do you pride yourself in it? I guess is the real question, because obviously you take pride in it.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in my defense and making sure that it's the best of my ability for my team. And yeah, any little thing that I can fix, I try and make the adjustment at that moment and get ready for like the next play and stuff.
I have to ask you about, you know, the spectacular nature of some of your plays. Do you find yourself getting comments from your teammates? And can you sort of maybe tell us what you think was your best one? Because there's a lot to pick from.
Comments from my teammates, I think that I would say everybody's like, that was great. As the year goes along, they're like, come on, like, really? Like, they just, it's a given. Like coach says, it's a given, something that like we see at practice every day. Honestly, I'm not sure I couldn't pick between all the plays I've made, because each of them have like a special like place in my heart, and they each have a significant importance to me and the game. And like, they've definitely like changed momentums in the game. So I don't think I could pick like one specific one.
I mean, you know, winning the award as a freshman and then winning it again as a sophomore, and just, I mean, you've been playing at a high level, you know, in high school, you're on the national team. I mean, just playing as well as you are at a young age, or you can't be surprised, I mean, by this success.
Yeah, I think that what has helped me was growing up, my mom definitely showed me how to be like a team player and just to build character in that way. So I've had her as my coach since I was like five. And then my last 2 years, so my junior, senior year before coming to college, I got the chance to play with Coach TJ and the Mustangs. And he really helped prepare not just me, but everybody on the team for the college experience between traveling and just being with just the team. And I think that has helped me develop and make it a smooth transition between high school and college ball.
And do you have any routine, superstition, little stition, anything, you know, as a ball player, you come into the park and you got to do, you know, every time you show up?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few. Before the game even starts, I have to make sure I have my hair done and all my glitters done, because if you look good, you feel good, you play good, and I stand by that, and that's like my main thing. And I obviously want to make sure that my teammates also feel good. So like, I have a few teammates that I do their hair before the game, and I want to make sure I get them out of the way. And like, I know, right, they're going to do good. Like, they feel good, they're going to do good. And then arriving to the field, just kind of keeping the same routine that we do. If I like eat a snack a day, like I'll eat the same snack. And in the beginning of the year, I used to have like these Honey Stinger gummies, and I would like pass it out to like five people, because on the first day, those were the five that I would give it out to. And then in game, I always go to wherever I'm playing. If it's shortstop or second, I go to the grass line, drag my foot, take a deep breath, and then lock in for that inning.
Well, keep up the good work from those of us who have lost the ability to style their hair. So lovely. Seriously, through you.
When you accomplish something like this in back-to-back years, how do you not seek comfort in what you've accomplished and continue to push towards greatness every day?
I think that comes from my upbringings. Growing up, I didn't really get the recognition that I do get now from my defense and from how I play. So I just learned to continue to work hard, practice hard, and play hard, because there's always a next level. Like, there's always another mountain. So there should be no reason to be satisfied. Especially it's only my second year, so I have two more years to keep going, to keep improving. So I just see it as more mountains to climb and more things to achieve.
When you think about this week, I mean, you guys are in Wichita ready to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're ready if we just keep the energy up and keep supporting each other throughout this whole weekend and just trust the game and kind of like leave it all out there. We'll go far and we'll achieve the things that we want to achieve as a team. So I'm really excited to see what we're capable of and for other people to see what we're capable of this weekend.
You mentioned the energy. That's something I always hear about you. We talked about your defense. When that started, when did you start to be the voice?
Since I was little, there's many aspects of the game, and there's many parts where you can help the team. For me, it's usually defense. But let's say one day my defense isn't working, my offense isn't working, the only thing I can bring to the table at that point is my energy. So I've always aspired since I was little to keep the energy up in the dugout, to be that light, to be that positive energy. So hopefully people will feed off of that and we continue to go up rather than down. So even if I'm not doing good in the game, I always want to keep the energy up because there's more game to go.
First of all, Kevin Lewis from ABC Action News, whose microphone I was holding during the golf audio, which you'll catch later on the podcast page. But going from the golf course to the Microsoft Teams call there, giving the Bulls good coverage like we kind of like to do here on Unlimited. But hat tip to him. He was the only person that was at both media availabilities, not named Derek Sharp, of course. He dropped the office line of just a little stitious, not superstitious. That was excellent insight there. Again, that was fun, able to sit there. Actually, why I sounded like I was talking kind of from a distance as I was in my radio booth in Gainesville, and I wanted to kind of cut down the extraneous outside noise as much as I could, but that was pretty cool.
And let's hope there are four games left to go for the Bulls. That's how many they have to play to make the AAC tournament final and, of course, win the championship. It is not all but certain, I'm not going to say that, that they have to win the whole thing. And here's why, if they make the final, because they start off today against Tulsa. The Wolves are ranked 58th in the latest RPI. Tulsa 63. If they win, they'll probably play Wichita State, which is the host in the fourth seed, and taking on UTSA today. Wichita's just ahead of the Bulls at 57 in the RPI. If they win their first two games, they'd be in the semifinals against top seed FAU, which is 40th. So win three games like that, and you're starting to get into the top 50 of the RPI. Again, they're at 58. The bubble is in the upper 40s. If you play Charlotte in the final, the 49ers are ranked 26th. You're going to be a bubble team, so they might not have to win the conference tournament, but they certainly have to win at least two games and make the semifinal. Remember, the Bulls with Georgie Nikoric got an at-large with a computer ranking worse than the one that they would probably present this year, and that was a large part due to Koric and having that ace pitcher. Well, the Bulls do have a second-team all-conference performer, along with Kathy Garcia-Soto being named all-conference. Peyton Dixon was named second-team as well. First things first, the Bulls, who in the league were 13-14, but overall were 34-21. And when you hear that, you might think, well, one of two things. Either the Bulls played a soft non-conference schedule, or the American is just really good. It's definitely the second one, because their non-conference schedule is what has them still with the chance to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large. 34-21 is the overall record, so you play it out making the finals and losing. 37-22 would be a strong performance. Tulsa was just a game ahead of the Bulls in the end because they got swept in the final weekend at FAU. They go 29-22 overall. The Bulls will play this game at 5 o'clock. Of course, it might be a little bit later because the first two games in the AAC tournament, the other half of the bracket, could always go a little bit long. East Carolina and UAB are playing for a fourth straight time. They squared off last weekend. UAB took that series to get the 6th seed. So the 6 plays the 7, while the 3, that's North Texas, plays the 10th place team, Memphis. And those teams, the winners of the games today, will play each other tomorrow and then get Charlotte in the semifinals. Again, the team that's on the Bulls' half of the bracket, if they win their first two games sitting back, is number 1 seed FAU. In that second weekend of conference play, the Bulls started off in Tulsa with a 3-0 win, combined shutout. Bell Sargent went the first 5, then Dixon picked up the save, but then lost 3-0 and 6-2. Golden Hurricane are a .300 hitting team and have two all-conference players, Amani Edwards and Mackenzie Denson. Denson hit .380, Edwards .373 with 33 RBI, 5 triples along with 5 home runs. Mara Moore will no doubt get the start. She's 11-7 with a .296 ERA for Tulsa, and looked like she was heading for a win in the opener against FAU before the Owls rallied late in that one. So that'll be at 5 o'clock today, and if the Bulls win, they'll sit back and watch the next game, the last game of the day between Wichita State
and UTSA. Even though they're the fourth seed, you'd have to say that the Shockers stand as much of a chance as anybody of winning the thing, especially having home field advantage. Bulls certainly have the chance. And it's funny, Charlotte and FAU get that advantage of being there on Friday, knowing no matter what, they only have to win two games for a title. But A, it's going to be two tough games regardless the opponent. And B, I think both of those teams are in the NCAA tournament regardless. So it might actually be best for the conference if a third team can jump in there and make it a three-bid league. And of course, the Bulls hope to be that team. CC Wong from Wichita State was, by the way, named the player of the year in the conference. Led the league in batting average with a .481 mark. In conference play, her overall average only .455, which is fifth in the country. And the pitcher of the year, somebody the Bulls saw way back at the beginning of the conference slate, Georgiana Barefoot from Charlotte. Not just a great name, but a great pitcher. She had more wins than anybody else in league play, 9. As, by the way, the Charlotte 49ers won their last 14 games, and that's why you're impressed with FAU, because they had to finish 21-6 to win the league. That is just phenomenal. 21-6 is also the mark that Charlotte had, but FAU had the head-to-head. Incidentally, Garcia Soto, the first player to repeat as the AAC Defensive Player of the Year, even though she did share the award with Lexi Winters, Charlotte, she is still considered the Player of the Year. If you want to see the whole conference teams, go to theamerican.org. Just click on the softball page. Again, 2 from the Bulls get all conference honors. I believe I said Kathy Garcia Soto was a second teamer before. Actually, not. It was just Peyton Dixon. And Hey, frankly, if you're finishing 8th out of 10 teams, and there are, let me count them, 3 pitchers, one for each of the infield positions, including catcher, and then 3 outfield positions plus 2 utility players, it's kind of hard to get on that first team, especially when you see who the utility players are. Trinity Schlotterbeck was a true two-way star for FAU, the league champion, and the second utility player, non-pitcher, was the one we just mentioned as player of the year, CC Wong. If you just looked at some of their recent hitting, some of the Bulls, like particularly Marissa Trivelpiece, would be on the all-conference team, but overall for the year, just not enough to get more than the one mentioned. However, all that matters is how you're playing lately, and again, the Bulls hope to keep on playing well, but especially Alana Rivera hitting .321 could have found room for her, but overall her numbers weren't as good as the second team shortstop Imani Edwards and the first team shortstop Taylor Sedlacik was just phenomenal. Said all that for a team that only quote unquote has one all-conference player and finished 8th in the league, a really, really dangerous squad is the Bulls. Now, we are not going to do a show on Friday. In fact, getting ready for my trip to Yellowstone and no show next week because, well, that's where we'll be. But if the Bulls do make a run in Wichita, I'll try and get an interview and record that for you guys and put it up here on the podcast page. So until then, hopefully the next time we talk about them on Bulls Beat officially, it'll be after they played in the NCAA tournament. One other possibility, and you know, this is one of the things that when the volleyball team made it to the NIVC all the way to the Final Four this year, not everybody knew there was a NIT equivalent in volleyball. Heck, I didn't even know there was in tennis until I saw on the Tulsa website that they had both their men's and women's teams make it to the final of that 8-team event being held at IMG. There is a postseason, it's called the NISC in softball, and usually ends up being a good mixture of solid mid-major teams and power conference teams like Iowa and Maryland from the Big Ten played each other in the semis last year. Iowa ended up winning that whole thing. So that's a possibility. It is next weekend in Fort Collins, Colorado. So whether it's the NCAA or perhaps another tournament, the Bulls could still be playing. If it is the NCAA tournament, which is where you want to go, trust me, they'll be either in Gainesville or Tallahassee. Both the Gators and Noles are going to be hosts. And if it's Gainesville, then the second team will be an ACC team, and the third team will either be a bubble team from another power conference or another mid-major team. The difference, and I mentioned how the Bulls could get in without winning the conference tournament, I'd say if they do win the conference tournament, they will not be that fourth seed, meaning they won't have to start off against the host. So for many reasons, you want to win the whole thing if you can. That'll wrap it up here on the podcast page as far as Bulls Beat, the softball version. Good luck to the women. Congratulations to Kathy Garcia-Soto, Defensive Player of the Year.